The Longbox Crusade presents Pop Culture Posicast.
Welcome to Pop Culture Posicast. This is the show where we're going to find all the good stuff in items of pop culture. Movies, music, comics, TV shows, you name it. And we're going to find the fun stuff in it. Woohoo! I'm your host, Pepe Pat. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Jazz Jared.
Hello. We're so peppy today.
I know. Super
pumped. Oh, man.
I've been energized. It's like, you know, I just light came upon me. It was like a green light that just hit me. I said, you got to be peppy. It's peppy power. Peppy power gives you the energy to do whatever
right, calm
you
down.
Want. You just need to have peppiness. I said, well, I'm Peppy Pat. And they said, well, can you be more peppier? And I said, well, yes, I can.
All right. Let's take it down a notch. Well, Pat, you know I'm excited to be here. And before we tackle today's topic, I want to do a quick reminder to our listening audience of what the mission is on this podcast. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to tackle a maybe controversial, maybe somewhat disliked item of pop culture. We're going to give you our honest opinions on it. But then more importantly, we're going to take some time to shine a light on some of the more positive aspects of it. So, you know, even if we don't like something, which, you know what, Pat, most of the time we end up liking most of the things we talk about on podcasts.
But different levels of it, yeah.
Yeah, even if we didn't, we'd let you know. We're going to just say, even if we didn't like it, here's some things that we found that were good. You know, we're going to put some light into this world. Let me tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to try to convince you to like something you don't. If you flat out don't like it, that's fine. It's okay. We're not trying to change your mind. We're definitely not trying to encourage fandom battles. So if you come to our social medias at Longbox Crusade on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or whatever, please just be respectful of other people in there. You know, we're going to post this. And chances are someone's going to say, oh, man, I love that movie. There's no need to come in and explain to that person why they're dumb or they're wrong or anything like that. Just let them like what they're going to like. OK, appreciate that. And we're not going to tell anyone you're wrong. If you don't like it, we're not going to say you're wrong for not liking it. If you love it, we're not going to say, well, you're wrong for loving it. You know, these things are all a matter of taste. Some people like blood sausage, Pat. I don't like it.
I don't like it either, Jerry.
I'm not going to tell them they're wrong for liking it.
No,
perfectly up to them. So that's what we're up to.
And that's right, Jared. Like I said in the opener, we're 100% about finding the good in everything. There's always something good. You just got to find it and dig it up. And as an added bonus, every episode will end with a segment called Positively Practical. And you know what that is? It's when Jazz and Jared, who has been in the communication and leadership training business for over 20 years, so he's going to go ahead and give us some practical advice that you can incorporate into your everyday life at the end of this episode. Man, I can't wait to hear what he's going to tell me. Because, you know, it's not only for you. It's for me. And it's for you and me and you, everybody out there. It's for everybody. That's right. We're going to go ahead and enhance your life skills while we talk about fun pop culture stuff. So you know what? Let's get started.
Let's do that. On this episode of Pop Culture Posicast, we're going to be looking for the good in, as recommended by a guy who goes by The Golden One on X. We put these things out on Twitter, folks, and we let you guys make suggestions. And a guy who goes by The Golden One on X sent in a GIF of this movie with hashtag Green Lantern movie wasn't bad. So we're going to be covering Green Lantern 2011, Ryan Reynolds, thanks to The Golden One. Thanks for playing along on our social media, bud.
Yeah. Stay golden, buddy. Stay golden.
A great light has gone out in the universe. Worlds annihilated. Lanterns, we face an unprecedented danger. An enemy powerful enough to destroy entire civilizations. To fight this enemy, the Ring chose a human. I don't need to tell you your duty.
Mm-hmm. Hal Jordan.
The ring chose you.
Take it.
Speak the oath.
Speak the oath. Because everybody knows the oath.
I pledge allegiance to a lantern that I got from a dying purple alien.
So, this is the chosen human.
The ring turns thought into reality. Its limits are only what you can imagine.
The sword. How human.
Remember, your enemy is not gonna play fair.
Is that what I think it is?
An alien life form, Doctor. The first that mankind has ever encountered.
Son, we're gonna get you well again.
I've never felt better in my life.
They said they wouldn't have chosen me. They didn't see something I don't see yet.
I see. You had the ability to overcome fear.
Stay here.
No problem.
If you die, innocent lives will be lost. Your world will be annihilated.
Help me save my planet.
Fight it. Fight it with me.
Brightest day. Blackest night. No evil shall escape my sight. Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light!
All right, the first step in every podcast is to give you our honest thoughts. We will always start with being upfront with you on how we feel about our topic. It's important to remember that even if we aren't super keen on something, that doesn't mean we can't find some good in it. So let's get going with our segment called Honest Talk.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
How do you feel about Green Lantern overall, Jared?
You know, it's an interesting question, Pat, because I watched it when it came out in 2011. I don't know that I've seen it since, and I rewatched it this week for this episode. And if you'd asked me before the rewatch, what do I think? I would have said, that was okay. It was fine. It was good. It didn't blow me away. It didn't stick with me in a big way, but I didn't walk out of that theater, and I did see it in the theater. I didn't walk out going, oh, that was terrible, or I hated that. I was like, oh, you know, that was fine. Not a problem. I enjoyed the Green Lantern. Didn't have any beef with it. I can readily admit that this is kind of probably in X-Men Origins Wolverine territory. And by that, I mean, I'm one of the people who enjoyed X-Men Origins Wolverine for the most part because I'm not super steeped in Wolverine. So that is to say, I'm also not super steeped in Green Lantern. I've read more in my later comic book reading years, sort of the Jeff Johns era. I've read some of that, but like I haven't been a Green Lantern guy, you know, my whole life or anything. So I think I was a bit more open to what it presented me, and I liked it. Having said that, I will have some criticisms and critiques for later on, some things I would have done differently, but overall, I thought it was just fine. How about you, Pat?
Yeah, I am kind of in the same camp as you, where I remember seeing it in the theaters when it came out. I believe I have the DVD of it at the time, and then I may have upgraded to the Blu-ray just because, you know, it was good, cheap Blu-ray during Christmas sales and that. And I probably watched it one other time once having that DVD after, you know, just to kind of rekindle it. But it's been quite a long time since I've rewatched this one. And I do say that I have somewhat of a good fandom for Green Lantern. Hal Jordan, you know, he's my Green Lantern that I like, because when I started getting more into comic books at this time, going to the comic book shop and all that, Emerald Dawn was just coming out, you know, and that was the whole retelling of Hal's origin story. And then once that was done, it went over into his, you know, his ongoing series again, where he's an older Hal and he's, you know, dealing with everything, and then eventually becomes kind of everything that happens in the Green Lantern lore, that, you know, he goes crazy and then Kyle takes over. Right around when starts to go, you know, down that road is where I fall off on my collection of it. So I did miss, I think I got a few of the early Kyle issues, but that's where I kind of ended off at the time because life happened more at me at that time. So long story short is Hal is my Green Lantern guy. I like him. I like green. You know, if you look at my wedding ring, I got an emerald in it. I wanted an emerald in my wedding ring because I like, you know, I wanted a Green Lantern ring to have on my finger. And so I just thought that's really kind of a kind of cool thing to have. And so am I a super fanboy and know all the history about it? No, I don't. But there were some things in this movie. Was it different than Emerald Dawn? You know, they spun some things in a different way. All kinds of different things with this movie. All in all, I did find myself enjoying it again on maybe the third rewatch, right? Yeah. If you want to say that.
Well, all right. Now that you know how we feel about it, it's time to find out what the internet has to say in a segment called The Pit of Despair.
Where am I?
The Pit of Despair. Don't even think about
it. Don't even think about trying to escape. The chains are far too thick.
During the Pit of Despair, I get the unenviable task of finding the more common negative opinions on today's topic found on, oh, that most lovable of places, social media. And Peppy Pat and I are going to address them. So put on your helmet, Pat. We're diving into the internet. And as usual, we have our Long Box Crusade buddy, Delvin the Dark Web Williams, here to read these off. So let's hand it to Delvin for the first one.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome back to the Pit of Despair. Please make yourself uncomfortable as I read off these three items that came to me about the movie Green Lantern. Let's go. Number one, bottom line, this was just plain stupid. And not because it was, quote, fantastical, unquote, or weird, or sci-fi. Rather, because it was simply not good work.
All right, Pat. What do you think? You think it was not good and stupid? No. Save us all some time and be like, yeah.
No, I didn't think it was stupid at all. You know, you got to give them credit for at least putting something out there, right? So that's more than what I could think of or what I had the option to do. So calling somebody else's work kind of stupid would be hard for me to do just because, you know what, walk a mile in my shoes and then tell me whether you can or cannot do it. But as far as it being, whether it was fantastical and weird or sci-fi, yeah, it was a little bit sci-fi. It was a little bit weird because of that, the nature of what Green Lantern is, you know, it's so big and cosmic that I really don't think they even had the chance to really do a lot of the bigger cosmic stuff that they really could do. I mean, he's a space cop. Space is big and there's lots out there that you really could do that they kind of crammed it in just to get you going on it. It was still good. I think maybe that was one of the drawbacks of this is that they could have expanded more on some of those parts and just, hey, here's some space adventure first. And then here's, you know, then we're going to go to Earth. Maybe in the next movie that they do or, you know, whatever, something like that, just to do it that way. But I think what did they had, you know, the effects that were done for the time, but yeah, it's 2011. This is, you know, over 13 years old now. Technology has definitely changed. I think it holds up.
Yeah, looking at this particular comment, you know, it says this was just plain stupid and simply not good work. I find the comment to be a little too broad.
Yeah.
Like, what examples? Like, you just provided better examples. Like, if anything, they tried to do too much and maybe have a bit of a pacing issue. And I can agree with that. But to the commenter who just says this was plain stupid, it's simply not good work, I'm going to need examples cited, you know? And there may be some things I would agree with this guy. If he came and said, hey, listen, they try to cram in too much, you know, or I felt they were off the mark on this or that or whatever, I might have more sympathetic ear. But if you're coming with it's stupid and not good work, that tells me you just kind of personally don't like it or Pat or, and I think this falls into that category. You know, there's certain things that just became cool to hate.
Yeah.
I feel like this falls into that category. Like, I feel like there was a bandwagon hate, like be it Nickelback or Green Lantern. Like, there's this cool to hate thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of sometimes those will go around and come back and not they'll have a resurgence and not be as hated. You know me, I'm a big Batman Forever guy.
Mm-hmm.
That thing got hated when it came out, and more people over time are coming back to it and going, you know what?
Yeah, there's something
here, Maybe it'll happen with Green Lantern as well. Until then, let's have Delvin read us the second comment.
Number two, some movies are made to just sell toys, and this is one of them. Underdeveloped characters, underdeveloped relationships, gaping plot holes, and a movie in a bad need of a good rewrite. Plague DC Comics from cinematic foray outside the Batman Superman franchises, making Green Lantern possibly the last DC movie other than Batman or Superman we will see for a while.
I like the timing of that comment. Clearly it was written.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, whoa, wait a minute now. There's been some worser DC movies that have come out.
I'm betting that that comment was written probably like 2012.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Well, I'll address this one first. I'm going to take it kind of piece by piece. Some movies are made just to sell toys. Okay. I can let this one happen because they did push out a big toy line. And I know this because we bought them all for my son.
Mm-hmm.
We named our son Jordan after Hal Jordan. So he has a Green Lantern themed room. We bought him all these toys.
Nice.
So was there a big toy market push? Yes. I remember there was Imaginext, the smaller kids size toys that were all Green Lantern themed. They had the bigger kid Green Lantern themed stuff. So there was definitely a market for that. But, I just don't think the movie did well enough. Like once that initial push of Green Lantern toys came out, it just faded. It's not like they made an empire out of it or anything.
Yeah.
But he mentions underdeveloped characters and underdeveloped relationships. I don't know. I could see an argument for underdeveloped characters for maybe somebody super interesting like Kilowog.
True.
Or Tomar Ree or whatever. But like I thought Hal was fine and I thought Carol was fine. And I thought the relationship was good.
Yep.
I'd be interested to know more about these quote unquote gaping plot holes. Maybe I just put on my comic book brain and let it wash over me. But I didn't sit there and go, there's a big plot hole. Nothing occurred to me, but I wasn't really looking for it.
I could see a little bit towards the more of a gaping plot hole of him and Hector fighting real quick. And then next thing you know, boom, they're jumping to it's Parallax, right? You could have strung that part out a little bit more. And
that goes back to the pacing altogether. I'm going to take a big step back on that comment, though, and I think it's valid, Pat. If I could redo any of this, the first movie's villain would have been Hector Hammond and him only.
Yeah.
Your second movie villain would have been Sinestro.
Yeah.
Your third movie villain would have been Parallax. And I think maybe that goes back to what these commenters are really trying to get at. To me, that is its biggest sin, is it just tried to do too much too fast. But anyway, go on, Pat.
Definitely agree with you on that there was some pacing trying to cram a lot into this, that it is a good franchise and that they could have done a lot more with it, I think. I'll say what Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan, a great pick, definitely a great pick for that character. He played that role very well. I was sold on it.
One thing I like to point out to people who like to rain on the parade of especially Green Lantern is clearly DC was playing sort of a catch up mode. Marvel had got their thing rolling first, right? Because this is 2011. So I think you had two Iron Man movies out already.
Yep.
The Marvel ball was clearly rolling. And it was rolling strong. And this is sort of DC's catch up era. And, most people will say, and probably rightfully so, DC kind of tried to play catch up the whole time and never quite did. But what I want to point out to people is when people think back on Marvel, they think MCU, they think that massive ball is rolling and Green Lantern doesn't hold up, right? The thing I like to remind everybody is DC at that time, their development phase and getting their movies off the ground was in the same spot as Marvel was in the era that people like to kind of forget. Daredevil, Elektra, Hulk, Punisher. And I'm not saying those are bad movies, but I enjoy them all to some extent. I'm the host of a show called Posicast. I like most things. But what I'm saying is I think it's sometimes it's apples to oranges. Like we're going, oh, how come this isn't as good as what Marvel's doing now? Well, Marvel they stumbled out of the blocks a little bit too. They didn't get everything right when let's be honest. They soft launched with Blade and they hit a gosh dang home run. It's still like my favorite Marvel movie. But, you know, not everything was perfect. The first X-Men movie was good, not great. And like I said, the Daredevil movie and the Elektra movie and the first Hulk movie, Ang Lee, they all had glimmers of what Marvel would be, but they weren't there yet. And this is DC's in that same spot.
Yeah, I mean, you also did have the Spider-Man stuff already out, right? The Sony side of it. The
Sony side was doing pretty good.
Sony side with the Spider-Man, you know, by this time you had three Spider-Mans, mm-hmm. right? All three Spider-Man movies were out at this time. And so they're trying to do, DC's trying to do something here. And
yeah, I just like to point out to people that I feel like it's apples to oranges when they're like, oh, yeah. MCU's crushing, you know, the Green Lantern. Okay, yeah, but Marvel's been doing this longer. They've made their mistakes. Mm-hmm. This is DC making their mistakes. Although, again, I think Green Lantern's fine. But anyway, the final part of his comment, because we do think the comment's probably from like 2012-ish or something, saying that Green Lantern might possibly be the last DC movie. Batman and Superman. Now, we know that Wonder Woman did really well. And what was that? That Shazam movie did pretty good. And Aquaman did surprisingly well. And then DC's kind of floundered. It's the whole comic book movie industry is floundered.
Yeah.
Let's not just point the finger at DC. Yep. But, you know, DC has had a couple of hits. Admittedly, he's right. Like, there's a nugget of truth in here, Pat, that one thing that DC just like refuses to mess up is Batman. Like, their Batman franchises have been pretty solid. Like, the Christopher Nolans were very good. And the most recent one with the emo kid Batman wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was actually pretty decent. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. We did a podcast on it, Pat, but let's be honest. The biggest misstep in Batman franchise history is Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And we podcasted it, though. We found plenty of things to like about it. But interesting. I like this comment, though, because it's clearly before DC has its really good moment, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I think also, too, you didn't have a visionary or somebody that was going, okay, if I'm going to do this DC universe, how do I want to do it? Instead of just doing, oh, we'll do this video, we can do this and this, and not thinking like a bigger showrunner, a bigger picture kind of person, where I think Marvel started to have that a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, with starting the MCU phase, I guess is what you want to call it, because you did have Spider-Man, you had Blade, and you had all those other ones. And there still is a way that you could kind of pull that all in and make it the multiverse now in that kind of a way to really kind of have to go back and do it. But I think if they had somebody visioning where they want to be with this, I think it could be really cool. Instead of just trying to, like you said, just playing catch up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's turn to Delvin for the third and final Pit of Despair comment.
And number three. The writers of Green Lantern felt it was enough to skim cliff notes of Campbell and write the film based off their notes of the reading and half-remembered recollections of reading comic books when they were 12. There is nothing new in this film. A man is given a magic ring which takes him out of the world of the ordinary and makes him a hero. We don't grow to care about him because he doesn't grow or change. He simply goes through the motions because the script tells him to.
There's a lot to unpack in this one.
There is. You know what? I always like to, because I've been trained in leadership, right? Whenever I have a comment or something that is very confronting like this or very negative and you want to fight back against it, always look for the common ground. We're not even in positively practical. Maybe I'll go deeper in this sometime, but always look for the common ground to respond with first. Something you say, you know what? I agree with you on whatever, because it builds a conversation bridge instead of a conversation wall. I will agree with him that one thing I did notice is that the character of Hal Jordan, as played by Ryan Reynolds, is essentially the same dude at the end as he is in the beginning. He's learned a little bit. He has learned over him.
That was going to be my thing, is he has changed a little bit. He's overcome his fear and he's learned to appreciate the help from others to help him kind of come out with that. Because even in his training. He had to learn to, you know, think outside the box more, do some different things than what he was just used to. Like, oh, I'm macho. I'm this guy. I can do all this stuff. And you're in space. There's a lot of billions of different species out there who can think quicker and better than you. And they kind of mention that too. They're like, you know, we never had a human become part of the corpse yet because they just haven't developed yet to that point. And so here he, you know, comes in and has to prove that.
Fair enough. Like I said, you do see him overcome his fear. There wasn't a huge change in his character, so I get where this guy's coming from. But there was, you know, that's a big part of it. That's a big part of becoming the Green Lantern, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the absence of fear, but the ability to overcome it. Yeah. So, yeah, I will give him some credit for that, certainly. And what also kind of cracks me up, though, in this comment is he says, quote, there's nothing new in this film. A man is given a magic ring, which takes him out of the world of the ordinary and makes him a hero. Well, yeah, that's the story of the Green Lantern. I don't know what else we can do for you there, pal.
It's the old tropes of you're normal and you'd be given a power above and beyond what a normal person has. What do you do with it? That goes way back into Greeks and all that, all those.
I mean, I guess he's right. It's not anything quote unquote new, but you're making a Green Lantern movie. You kind of gotta have to get some of these beats right. So, I have plenty of good things to say about this movie, but I'm going to save them for our, we have a round for that coming up, Pat. And I think we have survived another dive into the internet. And some of these comments we had, you know, they were a little bit harsh or whatever, but for the most part, I think we've seen worse. I'll be honest with you, Pat. I dig a lot of these off of IMDb. I'll go to the IMDb comments section and I find a lot of these there. And let me tell you what I noticed, though. Remember how I said, you know, I used the example of Batman Forever, how it's gotten kind of a little more love over the years?
Yeah.
I'm seeing that in the comment section. Like a lot of the more recent, I had to go pretty far down to find negative ones because a lot of the more recent ones are, you know, they say, I don't get it. I don't get the hate for this. What it is, it's a lot of younger people, you know, who are now watching movies, getting on the internet, you know, and they're in their 20s now. They're discovering these movies that they missed when they were kids.
Yeah.
And everyone's told them this movie's terrible. I think there's a lesson here in expectations.
This movie's terrible.
And so a lot of the comments are like, I don't know why everybody says it's terrible. It's fine. I don't understand why this movie gets so much hate. I see a lot of that now, which
makes sense. My
theory that there was a time when it was cool to hate it, but I think that time is winding down.
Yeah. And what are you comparing it to? You know, I mean, if you're going to say, like you said before, if you're going to say something negative, you know, state your examples. So we have something to compare it to go, okay, I can see what you're saying there, but I don't. I can definitely see where you go back and rewatch this or people watching it for the first time now again are going, oh, this really isn't. Is it something I'll go back and watch again? Maybe in a little while. Is it a good, fun, popcorny movie and you can just sit down and watch it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you know what? Let's get to that. Let's talk about good stuff. Let's get out of the pit. Let's get out of this pit, Pat.
Okay.
Let's get out of the pit, Pat.
All right. Well, we did it. We survived another dive into that internet. Huh. That calls for some celebration. And we do this on the show with our most important segment called Gimme the Good Stuff. During Give Me the Good Stuff, Jared and I will each reveal our list of three things that we liked about today's feature. So let's go ahead and get cracking. Jared, give me a positive.
I like the way you said three things because, you know, you can't ever stick to them. All right. I will lead us off with a positive. Hector Hammond, and I can't remember the actor's name who played him, was outstanding. He was a great villain. Like I said, this movie, he should have been the only villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I will expand upon that because I like villains who aren't necessarily villainous. He becomes villainous because he gets infected with the stuff that he finds. But before that, he's not a bad guy. A little weird, a little socially awkward, but he's not a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
I will cite the example of when his dad, the senator, as played by Tim Robbins, I think, which is, I've forgotten he was in the movie. comes to him. He's like, hey, you know, I got you this really cool job with this alien autopsy thing, right? Mm-hmm. And Hector says, there's so many more people who have dedicated their lives to this that know so much more than me, that deserve it so much more than I do. Yeah. And his dad's like, well, I'm connected, son. And you really feel for Hector because, and you see him as a kid and you know, yeah. he's sort of in this friendship triangle with Hal, Carol, and him. And he is the odd one out. He's a smart mm-hmm. kid. He's awkward. He's not an athlete. He's not handsome, but he's not a bad guy. Life is kind of tough on people like that.
Yeah.
And he's had it tough, but it didn't break him. It never broke him until he actually got infected with the stuff. I was like, this is a really layered villain. I would have liked to have this whole movie been Hector's movie.
Yeah.
You know, I already mentioned that. I would like to go Hector, Sinestro, and then Parallax. That's the order I would do it in. And then, you know, you can introduce maybe John Stewart or Guy Gardner and something. That would be great. Anyway, let me get back on topic. My first round thing I really like, Hector Hammond, Peter Sarsgaard. That's his name. I wanted to give him a shout out because he did a really great job in this movie as Hector. Again, just really a gleaming jewel, no pun intended. I thought his performance was good. I thought his characterization was good. I love a villain who you feel bad for. Peter Sarsgaard, I think, was great in this movie.
I would definitely agree with you on that. And I want to go more into the other actors. If you look at the list, there are a lot of good actors that they had in this movie. So they didn't really hold back on getting some better named, I don't want to say better name, but, you know, some good acting on this one, whether it be the actual physical actors or a lot of the voice actors, too, that had to do a lot for their characters that were all cinematic, like Kilowog. You had Michael Clark Duncan as Kilowog.
Freaking Jeffrey Rush as Tomar Ri.
Yeah. Nancy Brown as Parallax.
Yeah.
Man. And you had an early Ryan Reynolds, you know, earlier on in his career. And then, you know, just look at him and how he's exploded. And just to be able to play both sides of the comics field, right? He's a Green Lantern and now he's big in Deadpool. You know, that's his thing now. Crazy how that goes. And the actress that played Carol, just Tim Robbins, you know, a good star-studded cast of actors at this time to make this movie. So it's not like it really was done poorly at all.
No, the budget was there. Yeah. Like, the talent was there.
You know, I'll just jump in a quick positive. Is the digital stuff that was done, it still holds up to right now watching it. I was like, wow, this is believable. This is really good. As good as probably the stuff that we see right now. I thought it definitely held up with that and was another big part of the story, especially when you're dealing with Green Lantern. It just can't all be earthy stuff. It has to be sci-fi stuff that's going on. And man, just some of the stuff they told, and again, having the good actors that can be able to deal with green screens and going, hey, this person's down here, or, you know, this person's not really even here as the actor, and having that to feed off of and do your acting. I liked it.
I agree. Which brings me, I guess, to my second point. Again, I think for what they did, which admittedly was maybe too much. This is going to remind me of a comment that I did on another podcast where we talked about Stephen King's Dark Tower movie.
Yes.
Where they took 7 books and crammed it into a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
They basically took like 75 comic books and put it into a 2-hour movie. But this is where we talk about the good stuff. So I want to say that if that was the mission you were handed, you know, I need you to get Hector Hammond and I need you to get a Sinestro bit in here, and I need you to get Parallax in here, and I need you to do all this in about 2 hours.
Here we go.
If you're given those parameters, this was very well done. Like, yes, I would have liked to see it expanded, but if that was the parameters given, it's directed by Martin Campbell. This is the guy that made GoldenEye. This is the guy that made the Antonio Banderas Zorro movies. Like, he knows how to make action movies. He made Casino Royale, okay? The guy knows how to make action movies, and I think it shows here. Again, did they have him do too much? The movie's biggest downfall? Maybe. But given his parameters, this was a fine product. Like, I sat here watching this last week to prepare for the show. And I put on my critical eye and I was like, okay, I'm gonna look and see, you know, is this bad? Is it bad? No.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Would I have liked it to be a little more better paced? Yes. But if you had to say, here's what Green Lantern is all about, here you go. Watch this. 2 hours. Here you go. Here's Green Lantern. You want to know more and really kind of understand more of the characters in that, here's some comics. Or maybe we'll do some other movies down the road that we can, you know, show you a little bit more on what kind of a character is he and the struggles that he has down the road. You know, because Hal's still a human and he's not perfect. And his character does grow. I mean, a lot happens to him in the comic book series that you'll be like, whoa, to understand how, you know, what his story is all about. And, you know, again, a lot happened to him too as a kid in this movie that, you know, he watches his dad blow up in front of him. And, you know, that's a big thing to overcome. But he did.
Absolutely. And maybe one day on Pop Culture Posicast, we will cover the Mummy movie with Tom Cruise. And I'm going to make this connection here. The Mummy movie with Tom Cruise was supposed to kick off the Dark Universe. They had this whole thing set up where they were going to bring back, you know, Dracula, the Invisible Man, all the classic Universal monster movies.
Okay.
And Dark Universe was kick it off. And the Mummy didn't do very well, so they canceled the entire Dark Universe.
Oh, really? Okay.
I liked the Mummy movie just fine. And I'm like, it wasn't bad enough that you should have canceled your whole plan. I say that to say this. Green Lantern 2011 was not bad enough to cancel your whole plan.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely could have done more Green Lantern movies. They could still do more Green Lantern movies. It's okay to stumble out of the blocks a little bit. Let's talk about Ang Lee's Hulk. You know, I don't hate it. Some people do, but the subsequent movie, The Incredible Hulk, was it better? I'd say, yeah, I'd say certainly it was, but they're learning as they go.
Well, yeah. I mean,
So I definitely don't think this was a franchise killer. I guess, you know, they got scared because, oh, it didn't do all that well and it became popular to hate it. But if they announce tomorrow that, you know what, we're bringing back the Green Lantern franchise, Ryan Reynolds is coming back to do another one or even a reboot or whatever.
Yeah, a reboot would be cool.
Why not? Why not?
Who knows? Maybe they might with this new universe that DC is, you know.
I know they were talking about it. Didn't they mention the Green Lanterns and Wonder Woman or maybe a Justice League or maybe it was in the lead?
One of them they mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to lead off this wrap up by saying maybe the most controversial positive thing I can about the Green Lantern film. Yes, Marvel had its heyday with the MCU, especially as it built up to Phase 3 and Avengers Endgame. Like, that was an unstoppable juggernaut, no pun intended, movie monster. Like, it was a must watch. But I will say, just my personal opinion, post Phase 3 into Phase 4, Marvel and DC both, they could call it superhero fatigue, call it whatever you want. There's plenty of different ways you could come at it. I feel like the quality, and maybe just because there's too many of them, of comic book movies has tapered. It's almost like a bell curve where it starts out, people are, you know, we mentioned some of those early Marvels and stuff where the people are learning, figuring it out, and the quality goes up, 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 up until you get to that big Marvel moment with the Endgame and all that. And then it kind of bell curves back down as far as quality. Just my opinion, folks. Don't get mad at me if you loved recent movies. That's fine. But I will say this. I will put Green Lantern 2011 up against any Phase 4 Marvel movie or any post-Phase 4 Marvel era DC movie. I'll put it up against any one of them and say, I think this is just as enjoyable as that. That is my bold hot take. Blue Beetle, Shazam, Black Adam. I'm trying to think of sort of the post, you know, Suicide Squad, you know, all those DC movies that kind of came out post of the Endgame.
Yeah.
I'd put this up against any one of them and say this is just as good or better.
That's a bold statement.
Even Aquaman that made a freaking $1 billion. Like, I liked it just fine. But was it any more powerful or memorable than Green Lantern 2011? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm not pooping on Aquaman. I'm glad it made $1 billion. But somehow Green Lantern became this black sheep of the comic movie franchise, and it does not deserve it. Maybe at the moment, because Marvel was on such a roll, it magnified the disparity, but the disparity is not there anymore.
Yeah. Now that you've gotten, you know, once the crap rises
and everything's kind of leveled out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I could tell you, I would enjoy Green Lantern over the last Captain Marvel movie. Definitely.
That's fair, Pat. I mean, I can't speak to it. I didn't see the Marvels, but given the track record of post
I fell asleep in that one. I didn't fall asleep watching Green Lantern.
There you go. Given the track record of comic book movies post Endgame, I agree, Pat. I'd put Green Lantern up against any of them and say this is as good or better than anything else we've gotten. I'm not necessarily tearing down the new ones. I'm just saying
this
is better than you remember. Green Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is something that now that you go back and take a look and go, you know what? This was a very good movie. Again, it's a superhero movie. It reminds me of a super summertime movie. If this was fun to watch, put it in 2 hours. I'm not sad. I'm not losing anything from my 2 hours that I invested into it. Not at all. If anything, it makes me hungry for a really good Green Lantern movie, and they could make it, you know, just learn.
Yeah. You know what? A weird thing sticks out to me, Pat. We probably should cover this before, but like, I remember a lot of people complained about his CGI costume. And yeah. I was like, you know, I've seen some practical Green Lantern costumes. It's weird and goofy.
Yeah.
Like, I like the CGI costume. I think it's a good idea. You know, was the design perfect? You know, maybe not. Maybe there was a better design they could use, but I don't think it's a bad idea overall.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just.
I think, yeah. And I think it's maybe just because it was CGI and it wasn't done before, or possibly.
The only place I saw some weakness was maybe in when they did the mask on the eye, like something looked weird about his face a little bit when they did the mask on it.
But it makes me, was it all digital the whole time or did he actually wear a mask?
Yeah. Small wrinkles to iron out.
Yeah. I really like the way that it glowed like that.
I did too.
I was that's kind of cool.
I really did too. And I thought Kilowog looked great. Tamar Re looked great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, the digital work is very positive in this. I think this was done very well because a lot of the movie is CGI work, you know, that all being done. And
if I come to think of it, that would probably be its biggest challenge if it released today, because I think that a lot of people just have CGI burnout too. Like practical effects stuff is becoming
more.
People want to see John Wick and they want to see Extraction and stuff like that because Tom Cruise, you know, in his Mission Impossibles or whatever the heck Tom Cruise does, he's always doing Tom Cruise things. But people are attracted to that because CGI is kind of overused now, but you kind of have to when you go to Green Lantern, you kind of have to, you know.
Yeah.
So that would be an uphill battle it would have to fight because CGI is just so, some would say, overused these days. But you know what?
And I think if you're going to do that, you don't have to do overboard and just go to show. Sometimes showing less is more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't have to show all millions of characters. No, just give me a few to float around in the environment and get a good mixture of CGI and real life people together and it'll work. I mean, look at Guardians. It works, right?
It does. It really can. Oh yeah. And by the way, in case you forgot, Taika Waititi.
Yeah. Oh, that was another movie. It took me a while. I'm like, man, I know this guy. Where do I know this guy from?
He directed 2 Thor movies.
Yeah. And a lot more, you know, and this was his early, you know, 2011. This was like an early start for him.
Yeah. He's still with Fly of the Conchords, I think, at this point, but. Anyways, Green Lantern 2011 was a dang good movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. All right. Well, with all that talk done with, let's go into the segment I promised you guys earlier, the one that can help you and me in our day-to-day life. Jazz and Jared's Positively Practical.
All right, Pat, let's get back into some of Jared's real life lessons. And I've called this one, I'm Just Honest. I'm Just Honest, Pat. Pat, have you ever met somebody who says, I'm not an a-hole. I'm just being honest. I'm not a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest.
Honestly, Jared? Well, you know, I have. Honestly, Jared, I have. And sometimes I've been that guy.
Well, don't be that guy. We've all known someone who's very in that camp of, I'm not a jerk, I'm not a turd, I'm just being honest. I will pose to our listening audience that while the person who says that may be legit, they may be very honest, honest doesn't mean you have to be hurtful. Honesty's good, but you need to pick your spots. You need to pick your time with it. You need to pick your audience with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes saying nothing is better. I will give you an example. Let's say I've gone to plenty of these. Let's say I go to a play for my son, Jay, who at the time of this recording is 9 years old, is in third grade. Go to a third grade play, right? I've been to several of these because he has an older brother. Pat, you've been to the kids' plays.
Been to some, yeah.
Pat, if we're sitting here and we're completely honest with each other and we're allowing ourselves to be a-holes, those can be brutal. Like, you're like just looking at your watch, like, when is this thing over? You know, it's not that we're bad parents. We're good parents because we're there.
I could be watching Green Lantern right now.
We're good parents because we're there. But if we're honest with ourselves, the back of the mind, we're like, oh, my, this is brutal, man. And I don't suffer other people's kids very well. And I don't like going to those things a whole lot. But after the performance, if my son comes down to me, he's like, hey, Dad, what did you think? All right. The guy is like, I'm not a jerk. I'm just honest. I'll say, oh, man, that was rough, son. And I, you know, no, you don't have to be dishonest. You can say something like, well, I thought you were wonderful, because it takes so much bravery to get up on a stage in front of all these people and do that. And you did that and your friends did that. And that is a tough skill to have, to get up in front of people and perform. And you did it. And I think that's amazing. See the difference, Pat?
I do, Jared.
It's, you can be honest, but not brutally honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I've lived a lot of my life in the military communities, and I'd say there's probably a larger percentage of the, I'm not a jerk, I'm just honest people. It's a very militaristic thing sometimes. I'm not saying the vast majority of the military is like that. I'm just saying the percentages might be a little higher. So I've seen it. I wanted to address it. If you're out there listening and you think, oh, I, you know, you feel a little stung, maybe like, oh, I'm that guy who says I'm just honest, and I always thought honesty was good. You know, it's not like you need to stop being honest or you have to become dishonest. Pick your spots and pick your times. If I need to give honest feedback to my son, because let's say it's not the 9 year old, that it's my high school age son does these performances as well. You know, if he comes to me after the performance in a group of his friends and says, hey, Dad, what'd you think? And I thought he did pretty good. And there's a couple of things I thought he could work better on. In front of his friends, I'm going to say, well, I think you did these things really well. In private, when we get home, I'll say, okay, so some of the things I saw that you could work on, you know, I think you had a great show and all, but here's a couple of things that you could work on.
Mm-hmm.
That's picking your time and picking your audience.
Because
if I tell him what he's got to work on in front of his friends,
yeah,
belittles him, or he's not going to be receptive to any constructive criticism, because he's just going to be embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So again, you can be honest, but pick your time, pick your location, pick the audience. And remember, you can find honest things to say that are not hurtful or off-putting. And I will leave it at that. So remember, folks, pick your time, pick your spot, pick your audience. You'll be just fine. And with that, it's time to give out some more positivity and show some love to our Crusaders Club members. These are the fine folks who have joined our Crusaders Club. They enjoy early access to special long box episodes, free raffle giveaways, voting on show programming, priority seating to be guests on shows, and so much more. These are the folks reaping the benefits and giving some much appreciated support to the show.
Alan W., who's always right about Robin Hood stuff.
And Helica, who's always Wolf.
Ow. Elbrin, who's always Elvis.
Bill Beer.
Braxton Underwood.
Clinton Robeson.
Captain Entropy.
Clark Westfield.
Dave Collins.
Battle Wagon.
Ezra Gallo.
Gary V.
Gene Hendricks.
Gerald Green.
Heinz K.
Jason Keen.
Jason Lady.
Jeremy L.
Jim Jarman.
Jim Meal.
Joe Thomas.
John Watson.
Josh Strickland.
Candace Ward.
Kathy Bright. Chartbox.
Matt and Lizzie Passo.
Mark Ross.
Maxwell Traver.
Miranda W.
Petey Devins.
Paul Hicks.
Rick from Jeff and Rick Present.
Rob Morgan.
Samantha Maney.
Sean Urbanski.
Spidey 67.
Spreadsheet.
Steve Cronin.
Tim Price.
Tony Pennington.
And the Toronto Cop. If we miss anyone on our list, of course, we apologize. Keep in mind, we record these episodes well in advance of release. So if you're a recent addition, we will add you soon. But no problem. You can let us know we missed you by sending an email to contact@longboxcrusade.com, and we will get it straightened out. And if you're asking yourself, how do I become a Crusaders Club member? It's very simple. Go to patreon.com/longboxcrusade for as little as $1 a month. You get access to the amazing world of Crusaders Club. Come and check it out. All right, Pat, we got a bit of feedback on our last episode where we covered Waterworld.
Yeah, we did.
With Kevin Costner. We got a pretty good email from friend of the show, Brad Abraham.
Would you say it was positive?
I would say it's positive.
Yeah.
You may know Brad from Aaron Moss's Real American Headcast G.I. Joe podcast. I podcast with him over there. And Brad wrote, "Gentlemen, I greatly enjoyed your look at Waterworld, a movie I actually saw in the theater in 1995. I saw a lot of movies in the theater that summer, some good, like Apollo 13 and Braveheart, and some great, like Before Sunrise and Babe. Some not so great, like Congo, Judge Dredd, Batman Forever." Sorry, Jared. Listen, I'm going to break in here because I love Batman Forever. I quite like Congo, and I enjoy Judge Dredd.
Enjoy Judge Dredd.
These are all Posicast
potentials.
Potentials waiting to happen right here. Brad goes on. Waterworld, though, was one of those possible train wrecks that ended up being pretty decent. There was a definite curiosity factor, as it was at the time the most expensive movie ever made. So many of us went to see it because we wanted to see what a $175 million movie looked like. And to be fair, the money was on the screen, particularly in the first act centered around the atoll. And the big action sequence was really impressive. I remember that too. Mm-hmm. I do feel it loses momentum as it goes along. It's just a common factor on a big budget movie, but it's far from terrible. The critics, however, had their knives out for Costner, and I think its reputation is unfairly maligned by the consensus of the day. That's a fancy way of saying it was cool to hate it. Mm-hmm. After his great late 80s, early 90s run of movies, they were looking to take him down a peg, and Waterworld, along with Wyatt Earp, another good film, savaged by critics because they hated Costner for some reason, really did a number on his trajectory. I'm not sure if either of you were aware, but there's a longer cut of the film known as the Ulysses Cut that adds 40 minutes of deleted scenes back into the narrative that was released by Arrow Video. That also includes a theatrical and alternate TV cut. And it's on Blu-ray. If you liked Waterworld, you'll probably enjoy this version as well, as it expands on the world building, the characters, and extends a lot of scenes that felt truncated in the theatrical version. We spend a lot more time on that atoll at the beginning. If you didn't like Waterworld, though, the experience will be more akin to drinking one's own urine. Bitter, unpleasant, but strangely familiar. Or if you like me, you could go read the novelization by Max Allan Collins, which is based on the shooting script and does even more heavy lifting. Great episode, as always, Brad. Well, that was a wonderful email, wasn't it, Pat?
Yeah, it was. Very informative. Except for that
part about Batman Forever. I'm sorry, Pat, you were saying.
A very informative. I didn't know there was more scenes extra to it for another 40 minutes of it. So that is interesting. I may have to just kind of look around to see what extra stuff was added. I think that would be helpful. And to see that a novelization of it as well, and by Max Allan Collins, you know him from the comic book world as a creator, that would flush out more of it. And, you know, it's kind of nice to have something like that. Like, I enjoy Robotech, but I find that where the cartoons kind of like this have a little bit of don't do a lot, the novelizations that were done for the Robotech books just really open up and expand that franchise a lot more, that I get more in between stuff that is happening and can understand rewatching the cartoon now and have more deeper knowledge into it. So I respect that.
And I respect Brad for sending that in. Brad sends in a lot of emails around this show and around Nostalgia Talk, and he's just a great supporter of us. So thank you so much for that, Brad.
Well, with that, that's going to bring us to the end of this episode of Pop Culture Posicast. If you'd like to hear more from us in the realm of comic books, action films, vintage TV movies, serials, and so much more, go ahead and check out the entire Longbox Crusade network. Jazzy Jarrett, where can that be found?
Well, Pat, I'm glad you asked. You can find the Longbox Crusade on most podcatchers. You can go to www.longboxcrusade.com. We're also on X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. All that at Longbox Crusade. And of course, you can leave us a message, a voicemail that we would be happy to play on the show at 707-532-5269. That is 707-532-LBOX.
Pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone. Back to you, Peppy Pet.
And if you want to chat with us online, we can be found at Jared.
Oh, Pat, I'm glad you asked again. I am at Yard Sale Artist on X, Facebook, Instagram. And you can check out my artwares at www.theyardsaleartist.com. Hey, Pat, what about you, Pat? Patty, Pat, Pat. What you got, Pat? Rat-a-tat-tat. It's the Pat.
Well, Jared, I'm glad you asked. You can find me on the Twitter at Christatos01. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Pop Culture Posicast. We look forward to chatting with you again soon. And remember, as the old Native American tale tells us, we each have two wolves that battle inside us, one positive and uplifting and one negative and burdensome.
Which one wins, Pat?
Well, Jared, I'm glad you asked. It's the one that you feed.
The music themes for this show are done by musical genius Joe November. Please check out his SoundCloud at joseflin99. That's joseflin99. You will not regret it.
We each have two wolves that battle inside us, one positive and one uplifting, and one negative and one burdensome.
That's four. It's one positive and uplifting, oh, what is and it? One negative and burdensome.
Two wolves. Okay. I mean,